They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
As if a killer is going to be like, I'm here, bitch.
I know.
Here I am.
Do you want to talk?
Ugh. I'm coming for you.
You want to go grab a coffee?
Stop shouting. Courtney?
Why, hello.
Hello. Pip, pip. Hello.
How are they?
Thou art well. I hope I'm not offending any of our British listeners by going pip, pip, because that's probably not cool.
Well, it's probably not.
Sorry. You can say y'all if you want. I don't give a shit.
I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I don't say y'all, so whatever. Doesn't offend me.
I know. When you say y'all, you're like, your shoulders go up. Like, you've got
to
like...
I have to like... really commit to saying it because I don't it's not my vocabulary.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. And that's okay.
Yeah,
you're not from the South originally.
No, I say you guys. Use guys Come on, use guys. How's your day going?
It's going good. I mean you did too.
Uh-huh.
I hosted another party because I love parties.
Yes, she's a party addict.
But this is a party that I do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Christmas cookie swap party.
Yeah. How many have you had? Was this like 4 or 5?
This is number 5.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, this is my 5th annual cookie swap.
Yes.
Party.
Festive holiday cookie swap.
And I love cookies.
Yeah, me too.
So
everybody has to like make a different cookie.
Yes.
They tell Courtney what kind of cookie they made so she can make her table look all pretty, different tiers on it with labels of what kind of cookies they are.
Uh-huh.
And there's a spread on the whole dining room table. Uh-huh. All these different cookies. And then you take little sample pieces. And
everybody brings like 4 dozen cookies.
Uh-huh.
So, and then you put them on. Everybody tries
it. Sounds a lot worse than it is, honestly.
It's like 2 batches.
I know the first time you had the party, me and our friend Nicole were like, what the hell? 4 dozen. Oh my God. But like, it's actually pretty easy.
It's basically like 1 batch of cookies, depending, but sometimes it's 1 or 2.
100%.
That's about it.
It's easy.
It's not. Okay. Nicole just, she gets a little dramatic.
She likes to complain. It's okay.
We still love her.
We love her. But then everybody votes on their best tasting and like best looking cookie. And you have to make these little cute awards.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, Courtney.
Is there something that you want to tell everybody?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked.
Because I knew that you were chomping at the bit. And I feel like I know how modest you are.
I wasn't going to brag again. I bragged on our live thing on Instagram and on YouTube. But I can brag again. It's fine. I'm prepared. I'm prepared.
Okay. Do you want to flip your hair to make you? Okay. Okay.
I won most festive cookie.
You did.
And I won best looking cookie last year, which now that I'm saying out loud a second time, that means I don't make good tasting cookies. But now I'm thinking about it.
Well, we've already determined the important thing is on the outside, not the inside.
I'm all about the presentation. You know that about me.
Right.
I like to make things look pretty. That doesn't mean my cookies are bad. It just means that people had better tasting ones. And that's fine.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I will completely agree with them. Their cookies that were flipping great.
Yeah, they had
better than mine for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yours were good.
They're fine.
They were like cookies and cream.
Yeah. Tastes like cookie dough. Who doesn't like that? Super sugary, a little sweet. Can't eat a whole lot of them. Taste buds will tingle.
You know what? It was like a 1/2 inch little round ball. That's all you need.
Make them small because that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's like a little pop of sweetness.
Yeah. Just give you a little, like a little, little snort of cocaine or something. Like a little jolt you needed. But you didn't know you needed, but I mean, you got it.
You could put it that way. That's fine.
But it was fun.
Yes, it was fun.
It was a fun party. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hosting it.
Of course.
And I mean, we're like right after Christmas time this comes out.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Everybody had an awesome Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever your holiday is, or if you celebrate, I hope you had a great time.
And you know what? This is going to come out a couple days before New Year's.
Yay.
Happy New Year's,
Happy
everybody.
Happy New Year.
You know what?
Christmas time was here.
We made it through this year.
Yes.
This is like year number 2 that we're like still doing the whole
chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you wear masks? Do you not wear masks? Do you get vaccinated?
Florida,
do you not get vaccinated?
It's a free-for-all, so you don't know.
You don't, depends on who you ask.
It depends on who you ask.
People have very high opinions on
everything. If you guys were like, oh, I wonder what people think about masks, like if you don't live in this country, and you're like, oh, I wonder what U.S. people think about it. Don't ask a Floridian. No. Because, oh God.
You never know what you're going to get.
You don't know. You're going to probably get more than you bargained for.
So you're just going to probably have to walk away if you do ask the question by accident.
Yeah.
So
just there's that. Prepare yourself.
So we're gonna start the new year off.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a great year.
100%.
2022.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well done. That was hard.
I know. I really do feel like this year went really fast.
It did go fast.
Yeah. And it's been a good year.
It has been a good year.
And I think 2022 is going to be a great one.
Especially for this podcast. I think we're going to do great things in 2022. Yay.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year.
Yay.
You're welcome.
What are you drinking?
Too much.
Well, because we were drinking when we were doing the live one, which was some Chardonnay.
Chardonnay? Well, see, I didn't know that, so I'm glad you said that.
Oh, because I had it poured for you when you got here. It just shows the trust you have for me that I was just like, here, drink this. And you're like, okay.
Okay. No questions asked.
Fine, I'll drink it, whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm drinking.
It was definitely Chardonnay. That's what you were drinking.
Yeah. Oh. What did you?
Chardonnay.
Are you sticking with
Moving
that?
Moving on. Okay.
So that's why this is going to go the way it's going to go today. Okay, great. This is going to be a good episode. So what did we watch?
We watched Urban Legend, which is a Patreon pick for December.
Well, I did know that.
You did know that.
I did know that.
But it probably makes sense why you didn't love it so much then.
Well, I mean, it does make sense because, you know, some of the previous patron picks have not like necessarily been
Chopping Mall.
Something that I've loved. Mm. Yes. I mean, Chopping Mall is a very, very good example. I mean, at least this was kind of a scary movie. Yeah,
it was a very cliche 90s movie. Scary movie, yes.
With a group of friends, whatever.
Predictable. Not
scary. Very predictable.
It's like, I feel like the only thing this movie had going for as far as like, I say it loosely with a lot of air quotes, scariness going for it was like jump scares.
Yeah.
But they were still predictable too.
They were. I mean, at least, you know, I mean, obviously, there was somebody that was in like this jacket thing, whatever. You couldn't see their face.
Right.
And I actually like that.
Sure.
Because, I mean,
it what a surprise.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, kind of kept you guessing a little.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm reaching.
The outcome of who was in the jacket, I don't know if I loved.
No.
It felt like a stretch of a reach for me. A
little bit.
But, you know, whatever. We found out what happened. Whatever. Before we hop in, should we remind our friends of a couple of things?
Of course.
Like always, tipsypod.com.
Yes, we're yelling at you. Everybody, we're yelling at
Look
you.
Look what you've done. You made us shouty.
You made us talk in unison again.
I do like it, though. It always surprises me when it happens, but I thoroughly enjoy it.
I think we've been doing it long enough that I kind of know. I mean, I know.
And I say the same shit all the time.
And I'm okay with it. But I like to, like, you know,
just hop in there.
Just jump in there.
I like it. It was fun for me. Obviously, our website has everything you need to know about our podcast on there. It has ways to support our show. It has ways you can listen to our episodes. And maybe you're listening to this one on our website. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, what's cool. up?
Yeah.
Welcome to our website.
Or you can listen on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or really anywhere.
Or our Patreon if you want to listen to it a day earlier. And if you already did that, hey, how was yesterday?
That's cute. I like that. I like that.
They heard this stupid shit yesterday. So... Our Patreon has three different tiers. You pick the one that works best for you. Either way, it helps support our show. But you get ad-free episodes yes. on there. You get episodes a day before everybody else on Tuesdays. You get to make suggestions on movies that we watch.
Yeah.
Like we're doing a Patreon pick right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And you get to vote on movies. It's all types of fun stuff. And since we're so close to January when this comes out too, January, we got some stuff planned for Patreon.
Oh my, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
We're going to like get some exciting stuff going.
Yeah. And these things that we're planning for Patreon is Patreon exclusive.
Yeah.
So don't join any part of the in crowd because
I do.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Uh-huh. So you're going to have to wait a little bit to find out what we're doing, but we have some cool stuff planned for Patreon.
We are for January. Guys, just get on the Patreon.
It's a lot of fun. It's going to be so much more fun too with our secret stuff happening. We've said too much.
Okay.
We've said too much.
Have we said too much?
Panic.
Okay. Run.
We have two podcast reviews.
Yes, we do.
That before we hop in, we can read. Do you want to go first or do you want to go second?
Wow, the pressure.
You pick.
I'll go first.
Okay.
It is titled 20 Days of Rage.
Oh.
I know, right?
Uh-huh.
I like it. I like how it's strong.
From our 28 Days Later episode, I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just finished listening to the podcast and like some of the points that you made about 28 Days Later.
Hmm.
I haven't thought about the military men and how they were already hard up for women after only 28 days. Insert eye roll.
Uh-huh.
But thanks for the laughs and looking forward to other episodes. Great show with good banter.
Yay! That's fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a review from the podcast Half Price Horror.
Yes.
Hey, friend. Hey.
Hey.
Okay. It's titled Always a Fun Listen.
Aw. Stop it. I mean, you can keep saying it. I mean,
keep it coming.
We like the compliment.
Our headphones don't fit anymore. Okay, it says, Courtney and Stephanie are the rare pair who manage to be snarky without being mean.
Oh.
Well, I like that.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, I'll take it. I like it.
Yeah.
That's fun. Look at us adding to our resume. They give a refreshing, down-to-earth perspective on some of your favorite horror movies that will definitely have you looking at them in a whole new way. Thanks, friend.
Yeah, we uncover some things.
We judge some stuff.
We talk about some things.
Yeah.
We heavily judge the things.
Get real judgy. It's not going to stop now.
On basically everything. So you're not safe with us.
But thanks for the review, you guys. That's really very sweet
so
of
much.
You. And if you want to leave us a review, do it. We'll read it on our show.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a nice one. Should we hop in?
We should.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
A DB synopsis for it.
You were staring at me too, and then I thought about it.
I glazed over.
Yeah, you only do that with movies that you were like, eh, about.
And it's really funny that I do that, because I don't do it intentionally.
Yeah.
I just don't do
Your
it.
Your true feelings come out when it comes to the IMDb synopsis.
It's true.
So I take it, because you didn't really talk about it very much, I take it you didn't love this movie.
No.
I did not find it scary, which I think is very telling.
No, I have a problem with 90s cliche movies with the friends and the whatever.
Yeah.
I just, okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the anticlimactic end and the girl and the whatever.
And Tara Reid just playing a typical Tara Reid character.
Yeah.
But on a positive, Jared Leto looked very handsome in this movie.
Oh, he was very nice.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, look at you, Jared Leto.
I know. I was like, Jared Leto? Because I wasn't expecting it. He's got like a baby face and like,
oh, he looks so cute.
I know.
Good for him.
Okay.
Here's the synopsis. Did we do it again? No, it's fine. We didn't do the IMDb
part. No.
We already moved on. You didn't want to participate. It's fine.
Oh, wow. Okay. Just like that, huh?
She won't participate.
No, I don't want
first.
To. Please move on.
A college student suspects a series of bizarre deaths are connected to a certain urban legend.
Yeah.
That's
true.
What happens.
That's.
They think it's like a serial killer who's killing based off of urban legends.
Okay, so we're gonna get started. Before we get into the movie, I would just like everybody to know we need to be careful.
Okay,
There is user discretion advice when watching this movie.
Okay,
there is smoking.
It happens a few times.
If it offends you, I just want you to know that maybe you should stop the recording right now. Mm-hmm. Do not listen any further.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, we're not going to be the ones smoking, but there was smoking in the movie.
Yes.
And if you're offended by that, I get it.
I just don't understand why smoking is on like the things about warnings before you watch the movie.
And there wasn't really like a whole lot of it either.
Cussing or nudity or violence.
Especially if there's like nudity or like adult content, stuff like that. I totally understand.
But smoking?
Stop.
Okay. Moving on. Okay. So like most movies, we see a car driving down this windy, dark road.
Raining outside.
Raining.
Of course.
We see a woman in the car. Her name is Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And she is listening to Under the Covers with Sasha on a radio broadcast from school.
Which is Tara Reid. Sasha.
She.
Boy, is she.
I don't really like her character name.
No, but it fits her character pretty well.
It does. I mean, anyways. So Michelle gets distracted by something in the car. And she swerves into another lane, the other lane, and she almost hits somebody that's coming in the opposite direction from her.
Uh-huh.
She panics, kind of like gets herself together, pushes in her cassette tape.
Sure does.
She starts singing, not great.
Total Eclipse of the Heart is what comes on the radio through her cassette.
And she's trying. She real trying.
Oh, I said, oh boy, her singing is awful.
It's bad.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, but then I see the look in your eyes.
And I don't want to judge her because I'm not like Courtney, who was on some type of like singing team thing, who we have yet to hear, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not a good car singer either, but I mean, Cats. Sounded like Cats were being murdered in her car.
I just feel like they should have had her sing a little bit better.
She was yelling, too.
She was
feeling it.
She needed to get a little bit of a distraction.
Turn around every now and then.
Oh my God. Okay. So we see her gas tank blinking low fuel.
Of course.
And then she does make it to the sketchy ass gas station. Mm-hmm. She pulls up, honks her horn very aggressively, I felt
multiple
like.
Multiple times. I'm like, rude, bitch.
I mean, it's raining outside and I get it to a point, but that's just rude.
But like, if you don't want to get out of the car and pump your own gas, why does that guy want to run out into the pouring rain and pump your gas?
Exactly.
Loud.
Whatever. So this creepy guy comes out. Bangs on her window for some reason, yeah. Which I thought was very unnecessary as well.
Because he asked her, run out of gas? No, bitch, I'm just hanging out here and honking my horn aggressively.
Do you think I just want gas for no reason?
Yeah. Okay. Like, top it off. It's full. It's fine.
Well, he takes her car to pump the gas. And I was like, okay, thinking to myself, do people really pull up to gas stations in 1998? Like, was this still a thing where you were waiting on an attendant to come out and pump your gas for you in 1998?
I don't know. Because I feel like it depends on where you're at. Like, okay, I know in the state of New Jersey, you actually cannot pump your own gas. So any gas station you go to in New Jersey, people work down and pump your gas for you.
Is it because they don't trust New Jersey people? Like, they're like, they're going to just take off with the gas. I have to pump it for them or they're just going to drive off.
You know, I don't know what the rule is and why it has to be, but like every gas station, people pump it for you. You don't pump your gas.
Look it up. That's probably the reason.
Should I Google why do you have to have someone pump your gas in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Official ban on self-serving gas in New Jersey in 1949.
Okay, we're in 1998 right now.
Basically, it's an act that citing safety concerns like fire hazards. So it sounds like a trust issue, which coming from that region, I get it. I understand. It's fine. Trust doesn't come easily up there.
No,
I get it.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well.
They don't trust that they can pump gas properly with not,
and not start a fire.
Bursting into flames. Those New Jersey people, you know.
Bunch of pyromaniacs. But this took place in Maine, I think it was. I think the school was in Maine that they were in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if Maine has anything like that where you can't pump your own gas either. I don't flip a no. But
I just felt it was very archaic.
1950s.
Yeah.
1950s,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Because it was like, it didn't even have a cover over the pumps or anything.
No.
It was very old-timey looking.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
So as he's pumping the gas, he glances in the car in her back seat.
Yeah.
And then he like runs off to the building and I'm like, this guy's super sketch.
Yes.
So he runs back out and he says that he needs her to come inside because the credit card company is on the phone and wants to speak with her. And I'm like, oh,
don't you get out of that car. I wrote hell no in my notes.
Yeah, that's no.
No. Okay.
So she puts Mace in her pocket of her jacket.
Good girl.
Puts the jacket on, runs inside with him. He locks the door behind them.
I don't like it.
And then she picks up the phone and realizes there's nobody there.
Yeah, just a dial tone.
Of course, she just panics because why wouldn't she panic?
100%.
So she freaks out, sprays him with the mace, throws the phone through the door.
Shatters the glass,
runs back to her car and then drives off. And this guy, he has got like a stutter, like a serious stuttering problem.
100%.
So he can't like articulate what he's trying to tell her.
Because the whole time she's trying to escape, he's trying to say something to her, but he just can't get the words there.
He's trying to prevent her from getting out and he's trying to talk to her, but he can't.
Right. So as she like runs out the window, because she breaks the window, climbs through it and is running back to her car screaming.
Yeah.
He stumbles out the broken window too after her, chases her to her car and she speeds off. And as she's driving away, he's like,
someone in the back!
Someone's in the back of your car, like screaming at her car. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure she probably heard you.
She doesn't.
She definitely does not.
No, she's still very upset, obviously, about what happened.
She's trying to calm down.
She's driving. Mm-hmm. And then she looks in her rearview mirror. She sees somebody in her backseat now with an axe.
Yeah. A literal axe murderer.
Then from the outside of the car, we see an axe swing through the window with blood on it.
Lots of blood.
Question. Is the car still moving at this point? Because it didn't look like it in the movie.
Oh, I thought it did look like it was still moving.
Oh, interesting.
But I was thinking, how is it not swerving or crashing? Because it was a little bit of slow-mo.
Yeah, maybe that was what I didn't see. I just, okay.
I don't know.
I feel like there was a little bit of a, whatever.
Well, poor Michelle. She gone.
All right, now we're at Pendleton University.
Pendleton? 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 Pendleton?
Pendleton?
I think it's Pendleton, but I'm not good with words, so don't trust me.
Okay, I'm going to call it Pendleton because when I typed it, that's what my Word document told me that it was, so I'm going with it.
We're back at university.
We're back at university. So we are with Sasha at the radio station.
Tara Reid.
And she's wrapping up her show.
Her show is Under the Sheets, right? Under the Covers.
Under the Covers with Sasha.
It's obviously very sexual.
All of it is
Everything
sexual.
Everything is sexual.
Yeah.
The person that she was talking to at this point, all she asked was, is it unsafe to basically swallow something? Because she can feel them swimming around in her stomach.
Which is...
That's not a thing. What? There's something else wrong with you if you feel something swimming in your stomach.
Yeah, go see a doctor.
Did you actually eat something that's still alive swimming in your stomach?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, okay. Tari basically makes fun of her.
Of course she does.
And I'm like, oh my God, this whole conversation, I just can't. Because if somebody's calling into a radio station that the entire campus can hear, and she's like, I can feel him swimming around in my gut. Like,
anybody what? Can hear. Anybody. It's a radio station.
I just,
okay.
I can't. But well, this girl's panicking, and Terry's basically making fun of her. And I'm like, seriously, guys.
So, yeah, that's basically it. And then we flash to the group of friends. They're hanging out. It looks like Friends, the TV show.
Yeah, it's like a coffee shop.
And it has, like, this ornate, like, you know, wingback couch
chairs,
thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but we meet Parker, Brenda, and Natalie.
Yes.
And Parker tells, like, this scary story to the girls about the night this whole bunch of kids got killed at the school. And basically, the girls determine, because they're like, okay, letting him continue with this story, but they're kind of laughing at him. And the girls determine that they had a frat party to commemorate this massacre, like, that night.
Yeah.
And I said, is that a thing?
I feel like fraternities will have a party for anything.
That's true.
So it's been, I think it was 25 years
yes.
since this massacre on campus, where I believe it was everybody, from what he's saying in this part of the story, everybody who lived in that Stanley Hall or whatever it was, who dormed in that hall, died because this serial killer went to every door, knocked on every door, and whoever opened it, he like cut their throat.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, great idea to have a party for it. Hell yeah.
Okay. So now we meet another guy. His name is Paul.
Jared Leto.
Paul.
Jared Leto.
Okay. He's giving Parker hell about how bogus the story is. He doesn't believe it at all. Brenda seems to have a crush on him.
Yeah. How could you not? He's and then he so walks away. Handsome in this movie.
He is. He's very like, he's got this
very
baby
cute.
Face. Very cute. He's cute. So the girls leave the coffee shop. They're kind of talking, walking down campus somewhere and talk about if the story that Parker told them was actually true.
Sure.
So they run up to this frat house that has been like boarded up.
It was, I guess, Stanley Hall.
Stanley Hall.
Brenda kind of believes it more than Natalie does. Natalie's like, I don't want to go there. And Brenda's like, let's just go there and shout Bloody Mary five times.
Which is weird.
And I'm like, well, those are two different situations you're combining there.
They are.
Okay.
She wanted to give it a shot.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't work.
No.
So they didn't get the noise or the reaction from the house that they anticipated. Like, they were waiting to find, like, Bloody Mary, like, coming out of the
Someone
house or
barged
something.
The doors. But they did hear something in the house.
They heard screaming from the inside.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So they start backing away slowly. And of course, another like jump scare. Someone pops up behind them, who was Pacey from Dawson's Creek. Did you ever watch Dawson's Creek?
I wasn't really into it.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I know who he was.
I only watched it recently.
So did you call him Pacey the entire thing?
In my notes, his name is Pacey.
Oh my God, it's Damon.
Yeah. Or Pacey. But he's got like the 90s bleached blonde hair.
Oh my
hair.
God.
Like the tips. Yes. So funny. Which evolves into early 2000s to just the tips of the hair.
Right.
But the whole head is bleached blonde. And he jumps up to, like, scare them. And he's basically another frat boy that's in the same fraternity as Parker is.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Natalie leaves Brenda to go into her dorm room. Mm-hmm. And we find that her roommate, Tasha,
I think it's Tosh.
I think it's Tosh. And her boyfriend are just having sex. So
yes.
she had, like,
loud.
She flipped on the light. Tosh gets mad. She ends up turning it off. Well, and then the next scene that we see Natalie laying in her bed. So apparently this is like a nightly routine for her.
Yeah.
Because she puts on her headphones to go to sleep to drown out these sex noises that are having.
Yeah. Because they were having loud sex.
And it was just, I mean, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
That wasn't a very big dorm room. And I feel like they were like on all different positions and.
Yeah. And I also feel like when she walked into her dorm, her roommate is very gothic, right?
Right.
The way she dresses, like half the room is painted black. There's all this weird stuff. I mean,
do you think
I'm not saying
that?
Weird as judgment, but stuff for her that's not my thing.
But do they allow that to paint like walls and stuff?
I don't know if they let people paint dorms. I never dormed when I went to college. But from my understanding, you could just like hang things on the wall.
You couldn't put anything on the walls.
Really? I thought you could hang it if it didn't put like holes in the wall.
Well, yeah. I mean, so you had to use those like command strip type
things. Or like tape or something.
Yeah. But
not
you
like
paint.
You
can't paint.
Especially not black.
Can you imagine trying to paint over that?
Paint the black wall. Anyway.
Okay, anyway.
Her side of the dorm is just very gothic. And then it's like this little corner where Natalie's bed is. It has like her pink comforter on it. And she got her headphones. Everything else is like a cave in that place.
Yeah, she's just like rolling her eyes because all of these sex noises. All right. So in class the next day, there's a professor that talks about different kinds of folklore. That's kind of his, I guess, the class that it is.
Wexler or something?
Wexler.
Yeah.
Professor Wexler. Brenda makes a joke and the professor doesn't look amused by her comments.
He's over her shit.
Yeah. So he calls her up to the front of the classroom for an experiment. So he gives her some Pop Rocks to eat, and then he offers her a Coke to drink.
Yeah.
So she declines, and then he asks, like, why? Why aren't you going to do it? I thought you didn't believe in folklore. Because apparently your intestines
she
explode
heard that
or something.
Your stomach and your intestines explode if you have them together.
Which is, okay, I'd never heard that, but I mean, this is folklore, so whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. So Damon pipes up from the audience and says that he'll do it.
Yeah.
Of course he will. So he comes up, eats the Pop Rocks, drinks the Coke, and then he pretends to die.
Yeah. He starts like seizing. He's got all this like foaming at his mouth, which is just the Pop Rocks.
Of course
Coke.
It is.
And Brenda freaks out.
Oh, yeah.
And then he opens his eyes and starts laughing.
Yeah. She totally fell for it.
She really did. It was believable.
I mean, it looked believable.
It was a good prank.
He did good.
Yeah.
It was funny because the professor couldn't give two shits. I mean, obviously, he knew that this was not a thing.
Right. He just watched him, like, seize on the floor. Like, are you done yet? You done?
I mean, what if he was, like, seizing for some other reason and not necessarily for the Pop Rocks?
I don't know. Maybe, like, an allergy? And he's like, get over yourself.
I know.
Take it off.
God.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Later that day, Brenda and Natalie are walking together, and they come upon a police officer removing school newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
The front page talks about a girl that died that went to Pendleton. I feel like we're fucking that up.
Which is good to me.
Went to university. So Paul walks up and sees, you know, what's going on. And he doesn't like it since he's the one that actually wrote this story.
Yeah,
he's like,
he works for the newspaper on the campus.
Yeah. So he gets mad. The dean is like, I don't give a shit.
He's a major hard ass, the dean.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
Chill out, bro.
Whatever. So we flash to the group of friends and the others who are watching this like news report on the TV about Michelle, that she was apparently decapitated by someone in her back seat. And then they start making some jokes about it and they move on.
Yeah. Pacey said that he knew her because she gave good head. And he goes, get it, head. And I said, I see, Pacey. That's kind of funny.
Did you laugh at that joke?
Kind of did.
Oh my God. Natalie goes into her dorm room and apologizes for last night about flipping on the light when she was having sex. And then Tosh tells her that it better not happen again. She's really angry.
So angsty.
She's so much.
I said, Natalie goes to her dorm and talks to Satan, her roommate.
She basically is. Natalie sees a bottle of lithium pills that are laying on the ground and gives them to Tosh. I don't really know what lithium pills do.
I don't know either.
I'm not, so I don't.
Is it like a mellow you out kind of thing? Someone teach us. We're naive.
Yeah, we are. And I'm not going to Google it. So
That's
fine. It is what it is. So they don't seem to have a great relationship.
Sure.
Natalie gets her yearbook and she sees like several pictures of her and Michelle together. Mm-hmm. So she didn't say it to the group when she was with them earlier.
Right.
But she does know her.
From high school.
She went to high school together. Mm-hmm. And apparently they were friends.
Yeah.
So now we have Damon. He comes into her room, asks if she wants to go see someone's dogs get their nose pierced.
Which I did not like at all.
I don't. What?
It's that guy Parker.
Yeah.
It's a frat party. And he's inviting her to it because apparently they're going to pierce the dog's nose. And I don't like that at all. That upset me.
As it should.
That's animal cruelty. Leave that dog alone.
That dog doesn't know what he's doing.
Don't you pierce him anywhere.
Anyways.
Give me your dog. I'll take care of him.
Exactly. Well, Natalie doesn't seem interested. He can tell that something's bothering her. So he comes to sit down next to her and says that, you know, he can be a good listener. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody else know on campus if she ever wants to talk. So they get into his beat up car, drive to the middle of the woods.
Did you notice when he started the engine, when it finally kicked over, that Dawson's Creek theme song was on?
No!
As soon as, like, because his car's a piece of shit. Like, he's trying to turn the engine. I mean, having to hit the gas.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just cranking. Nothing's happening. He finally gets it to turn on, and it goes, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait.
Oh my god, I missed it.
I was like, that's very clever.
Oh, that is clever. Oh, I can't believe I missed that. That's sad. All right, well, so they're out in the woods.
Yeah, they drive out to the flipping woods.
I don't, what?
Is there no other place in Maine you can go outside of the campus that's not in the goddamn woods?
Well, apparently not. Apparently not. So Damon asks about, you know, how she knows Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
He opens up to her about someone he lost, I guess, to kind of like get some kind of.
It was his girlfriend who died of a syndrome. Because he starts to. He said a syndrome. Because Natalie's talking about how she knew Michelle and she's bothered that she died.
Yeah.
So then Pacey is like horny.
Of course.
So he's like, I can relate. You know, I lost someone very close to me.
It's a ploy to have sex.
Mm-hmm. My girlfriend, she died. And Natalie's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that. What happened? Oh, she died of a syndrome. And at that point, Natalie looks at him and kind of rolls her eyes and realizes that he's full of shit.
Of course.
Because he's just trying to get it in.
Well, of course he is. Mm-hmm. What a dick. Well, she ends up punching him in the face.
I loved it.
I know.
Because he tries to kiss her and she pushes him off and she's like, just take me back. And he tries again because first he says to her, you don't have to act like such a bitch. And I'm like, dude, let me stop for a second. She punches you in the face because you're being disrespectful and disgusting.
Exactly.
She told you no.
Yeah.
Then she had to push you and then she had to punch you in the face and then you have the balls to call her a bitch.
And she was okay with it.
Yeah, because she's like, it's not an act, trust me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you tell him, bitch.
Bitch in a good way, of course.
But I meant bitch and like, get him, bitch. Not like, why act like a bitch? There's a difference.
It's the inflection in her voice. Could you not tell the difference?
Just let us call each other bitches, which is not always great, but we meet it in different ways sometimes. Right. But then he asks her, like, are you sure you don't want to think it over? And she says, oh, you want one black eye or two? You pick. And I'm like, damn, girl.
She ain't scared of him.
No, I love it.
Well, he gets all huffy and he ends up getting out to go pee.
Yeah, but he travels far from the car.
I don't really know. Why couldn't he just like get out of the car and pee?
Like, I'm right there. As a man, the world is your urinal. You don't have to get out of the car. You can just throw your dick out the window if you want and that's just pee. True. He has to get out of the car and climb into the fucking woods.
I mean, he could probably pee in a cup in the car if he really wanted to.
Hell yeah. I mean, he clearly is not showing any signs of class. Why stop now?
Right?
So he gets out of the car. He could have taken two steps away and just peed. No. He goes into the woods.
Like, far into the woods.
He takes a freaking hike to take a piss. What?
Well, someone ends up coming up behind him.
Of course.
Throwing a rope around his neck, strangling him.
Yes.
Okay, that's all we see for this very second, but we come up, we see more.
Yeah.
So, Natalie is tired of waiting, so she gets out of the car and calls for him.
Mm-hmm.
A man in a jacket comes up to her, and she, like, runs around to the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, she has enough time to do that?
But what's funny is she runs the driver's seat because this killer has no sense of urgency.
No.
This entire movie, he just strolls.
Yes.
Everybody's running like, oh my God. And it's like classic, typical scary movie.
Just moseying.
I mean, they're, you know, no rush. No. Just take your time. She runs around the car, gets in the driver's seat, locks the door, and has to manually crank the window up. She's like, oh my God. And she has to crank the window up, and he almost gets his fingers in there.
All of the windows of the car are down.
Why? I don't know. So he tries to, like, get in the back of the car, because the back window's open. And I'm like, why did you open every window anyway if you're in the woods? It seems like it might be chilly out. I don't know.
Well, he ends up jumping on top of the car.
Yeah.
And now that we see he's got Damon hanging from a tree on a rope, like, right above the car.
Yeah, he, like, was jumping on the roof of the car, made all these dents in it. And then we hear this, like, squeaking noise.
Yeah.
Which we realize is Damon's shoes, like, trying to get like, his
bearings. He can touch it with his, like, toe if he points his foot.
He can
touch it.
But he's being, like, hung, like, by the noose from, like, a tree. I have questions.
Okay, please.
Okay. This tree is massive.
It's huge.
It's fucking huge. It's like a giant-ass oak tree.
I feel like I have the same notes as you right now.
So, okay. Let's flashback for a second.
Okay.
Chokes Damon, clearly not enough to kill him, right?
Correct, yes.
But enough to get that rope up this giant oak tree.
It's true.
It was up there like 20 feet.
Yes.
Did he have this up there before he strangled him? Because to get all this rope up there, Damon's hanging from this rope that's on this huge ass, I would have to assume be a thick enough branch to support what, 200 pound man?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On this branch around the base of this tree, and then he has it hooked to like the tow hitch on the back of her car.
Uh-huh. That's true.
So if she accelerates, the rope goes with her and Damon goes up into the tree.
That's correct.
how the fuck does one person orchestrate this entire plan and Damon not be dead?
The only thing that I can think of is from other movies where they've like taken the rope on like I think it was Robin Hood. Uh-huh. And I feel like he had like a rope on the end of like an arrow and he shot it over the thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
But that's all I can think of.
That's it.
But it was a thick ass rope.
How did Natalie not see this killer get Damon above the car in this rope?
I don't know.
That's a big person.
It's a big person. And how did the rope get directly over the car?
I don't know any of the answers to this.
Well, I mean, yeah. So there's that. Logistically, I don't think that's possible, but we're going to go with it.
Yeah.
We're going to go with it. So the guy tries to kick in the back window of the car.
Yeah. Because he's trying to scare her so she takes off driving.
Correct. So
but the car is garbage.
That's true. Oh, that was when she had pulled forward.
Yeah, because he's hitting the car to scare her.
That's what it was. Okay, so she's trying to get away from him and she can't go forward, so she's going to go backwards.
So, well, she goes forward first.
Correct. She can't go any further.
Right. So he scares her enough to finally get the car like cranked over because it's just making noise. She can't get started. She guns it forward. And then once she's flying, like driving forward, it stops because, okay.
Oh, I got that visual when she was doing it and she was trying to like...
But why wouldn't Pacey fly through the tree? Like, if it's just over a branch, why would the car stop? Wouldn't his body just be, like, dragged through the tree and onto the floor and behind her?
I don't know, because
what's stopping that car?
I'm trying to think if the rope was pulled and he was all the way up to that branch. Like,
he'd be decapitated.
He'd be decapitated.
So, obviously, she pulls forward. The rope is tied to the car. He goes flying up into the tree.
Yeah.
And she can't go any farther because... the rope is tied to the tree, I guess. So she's spinning the wheels. Nothing's happening. The killer comes in front of the car and starts trying to like kick in the windshield.
Yeah.
So she puts the car in reverse and flies backwards. Pacey's body comes falling from the tree. And again, location just perfect and spot it is. On.
Yeah.
Crashes through the windshield and he don't look good.
No. Natalie's upset.
Of course.
She's upset.
She's upset.
Yeah. We see the campus security guard practicing with her gun in the police station or wherever she's at.
Yeah, psyching herself up.
She's like watching like a TV show or something to try to like
With this badass woman who's like shooting guns at these guys. And she's like, I'm going to be like that. Like, okay.
So Natalie runs in and I was like, did she run all the way from the woods to campus? But she did it again in the movie. So she knows the woods.
The apparently. Woods must be all around campus.
She's good with the woods.
I guess so.
So she runs in. She tells the security guard. She's like, someone's killed Damon.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they both jump into her car.
Yeah, definitely don't call the actual police.
No, right.
Definitely the campus security cop should go and figure it out herself with the student. Don't call the actual
police. No.
Sure.
Not for backup or anything.
Not for a murder. Yeah. Okay. No.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. So they go out to where Natalie said this all happened.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
No. Everything was cleaned up.
It was.
The car was gone. Damon was gone. No rope. Nothing.
Where's the blood?
That was my question, too. Like, how could there be no evidence there?
It's not like it's a blanket or something that you can, like, wad up and take away with you.
And that car was shit. Like, what did they do with the car? Wouldn't there be tracks somewhere?
Lots of good questions. Lots of good questions. Okay. So after searching for a few minutes, she asked Natalie, you know, what she was on. Because apparently she had to have been on some kind of drug.
What a rude, judgy bitch.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Natalie says that it was probably the guy that killed Michelle. And Reese, which she's the security guard, said that it can't be because the guy that killed Michelle was arrested. It was the gas attendant that they arrested.
I think it was the guy from the gas station.
Poor guy.
Boy.
And it wasn't.
No.
All right, so all their friends are together again, and they're talking about what happened to Damon. They seemed really relaxed, and I think it was maybe because they didn't think that it actually happened.
Yeah, because Parker's convinced it's a practical joke because they're saying that Damon is like the joke king of campus. So she doesn't believe it, of course, Natalie, because she's like, I saw him. And for some reason, Parker knows, and I don't know why Pacey would even have this, that he has a dummy body that
mannequin.
Looks just like him. Why? Who needs that for any reason? Where do you store that? Where do you put that?
Do they sleep with you at night?
If it's the size of a person and to look like a person, it's got to be heavy.
Correct.
Where do you store that?
I don't know. Do you hang that in your closet? Like, where do you... Is there like a trundle bed where they sleep
just
next
right
to
underneath
you?
It? I don't know.
Yeah, so he's a practical joker. Mm-hmm. And then Parker's like, it's an urban legend. All of this is urban legend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie starts freaking out and saying that someone out there is taking all of these urban legends and making them into reality.
Yeah, because there was an urban legend of someone hiding in the backseat of a woman's car.
Right.
and they killed them with an axe, which is how Michelle died.
Yeah. So Parker's like, he was going to go on a ski resort trip with some of his high school friends.
Yeah.
It's probably where he's at.
I'm sure he's there. Yeah. Some type of like bachelor or frat party, something that something, they were doing.
Whatever.
But Natalie's not convinced.
No, no, no.
And she's saying,
it's like someone out there is taking all these stories and making them reality.
Oh, so sad.
So
it's so much drama.
It is. Natalie calls the ski resort where Damon is supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And she is not really getting the answer she wants. The lady on the other end of the phone says that she can take a message for her, but she can't guarantee that Damon's actually going to get it.
Yeah, because if he doesn't come and ask for it, he's not going to get the message.
Okay, how? Okay.
So 90s, man.
So there's nothing she could do. She ends up hanging up because she's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So now she goes into the library to look for a book.
So does this bitch not learn? Why is she anywhere by herself? Anywhere by herself.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Because there seems to be nobody at this school other than this group of friends.
Yes. You see some people during the day walking outside, but nobody is in a building anywhere anybody else is.
And they're not really close to the camera either.
No.
I just don't.
Okay. She's in this library by herself. She goes there by herself. The library is empty, full of creaky goddamn haunted noises because this campus is like 500 years old. But I'm like, why would she be anywhere by herself? If this girl she knew from high school died a couple days ago.
Right.
Her friend who she was with last night was murdered in front of her. But she's like, yeah, let me wander places at night by myself.
No.
This is great.
I can tell you right now that I would probably be going home and I would stop class.
I would immediately go home.
Especially if I saw what I saw with Damon and heard about Michelle.
I'd be like, Dad, you got to pick me up.
I'm done with this school. I can't do it.
Nobody's there with her, but she hears noises. And then she goes, hello?
Oh, yeah.
She is sees someone like there?
There's like a shadowy person that like walks by the thing.
As if a killer is going to be like, I'm here, bitch. I know. Here I am.
Do you want to talk?
Ugh. I'm coming for you.
You want to go grab a coffee
before I kill you? Like, stop shouting.
Well,
I don't understand.
I don't. 90s. Mm. It's the 90s.
I mean, but all horror movies have these like dumb cliche moments. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Hello? Because they're like, sup, bitch? I'm right here. I'm two aisles over. I'm looking at some fiction novels. What you got over there?
Oh, my God.
I can't.
I know.
Can I borrow your library card? I don't really go here. I'm just a killer. I don't go to this school. I can't.
Well, she kind of does go to school. Anyway, so.
Spoiler alert.
Nobody responds.
Of course not.
So she continues her book search, not phased at all.
She's like, shrug. Whatever.
How?
I'm here on a mission.
But how? I would be out of that library so quick.
I would have a trail of smoke behind me. I'm running so fast. It'd be like a cartoon.
It's not a thing.
Unreal.
Not a thing. Okay. So she ends up finding the Encyclopedia of Urban Legends.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So she starts walking out and runs into Sasha.
Yeah.
Scare moment. Yeah. Whatever.
They both leave two separate aisles at the same time and bump into each other.
Yeah.
And of course, Tara Reid's character is getting like the encyclopedia on Kama Sutra.
Of course she is.
And she's like, look at this. I'm like, why does she always play a horny teenager? Always.
Always. I guess, I don't know, because she's blonde and she's, I don't know.
You know what I noticed about this movie too? So Tara Reid's character is obviously blonde.
Right.
Brenda's character's a brunette.
Yes.
And Natalie's character's a redhead. I'm like, did they do it on purpose?
Probably.
Because they had to have all three, right?
Of course they did.
Oh, God. horny men.
So they both start looking at this Urban Legends book. They kind of sit down and start talking about it for one reason or another. And they find kind of what happened to Damon.
Sure.
As far as like the hanging or whatever. And then the next thing or Urban Legend that was supposed to happen, because I thought it was like going in order, sequential
order. That's what it seemed like, right? Yeah. Basically, this group of people who were trying to join a gang drive with their headlights off.
Right.
An oncoming car flashes to them like, hey, your lights are off. Put them on. The car without its headlights on loops around, goes after the person and kills them.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
I don't.
Do people do that?
I actually had heard of it before this movie, but I just think it was like an urban legend. That's the only thing from this urban legend that I actually heard of before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Maybe because I'm from New York, we don't trust people, but.
Okay. we have trust issues.
But they also flip through a couple pages where we see really quickly where someone's dead in like a bed and there's writing on a wall, like out of blood or something on this wall. And then it quickly kind of moves on.
Yes.
And then we go to Natalie / Satan's dorm room. And Satan is on her computer. And at one point, remember they picked up the phone and it had that noise?
Yes.
She's like, can you get offline? I was like, oh my God, I remember that so much.
Oh my AOL. God. Like you have to get off the computer to use the phone?
You have to pick up the phone, it kicks you offline anyway. Yeah. My parents would do that if we were online. If we were on AIM for too long, they'd just pick up the phone and be like, doo, doo. Oh, come on.
AIM. Yeah. That's so cute.
So she's on, I don't know if she was in a chat room or what she was on.
I don't know, but there wasn't like people in the chat room.
It was just like she's talking to one person.
Okay.
So she's writing back and forth to this person that she's trying to meet up with on campus.
Correct.
So she says that she's going to meet up with them. She's going to go freshen up first in the bathroom.
She wants to know where he's at.
Yeah.
He's
so she asks him, like, where do I mean to meet you? What room are you in? Whatever.
Right.
So she goes to freshen up. When she comes back to sit at her desk to see what he responded with, when she asks, what room are you in? It says yours in all caps and it's blinking. Why would it be blinking? Okay, whatever. Either way, there's someone behind her and she gets attacked.
Grabs her. Struggle begins.
They're on the bed. She's being strangled on her bed.
Correct.
So now we see in the hallway in like the building, Natalie's walking to her dorm room and somebody, we see one other person besides these four people, walks by and basically insinuates like your roommate's at it again because you hear like struggling noises, like moaning and yelling noises. Struggling sounded weird, but you know what I mean. So from the last situation with the roommate, Natalie opens the door, reaches for the light switch and goes, nope.
Ooh, yep, not going to do
that. I'll keep the lights off.
Uh-huh.
She gets ready for bed. She climbs into her bed and she puts her headphones on. And we hear the roommate who's making these like moaning noises.
Kind of moaning, choking noises.
Yeah.
Which, what has she heard?
Like, I don't know. I just really feel like I would have a really hard time just this happening every time.
I just
think I would have left the room. I don't think I could have just put my headphones in and been like, okay, have your crazy sex.
And also, how is Tosh at this school? Because I feel like this is a very old school, like
very traditional.
Very maybe? Traditional. Yeah. Like how
maybe she's got great grades. I don't know.
Oh no.
Maybe she got a scholarship for
scholarship for what?
I envision her being like a sculptor. Like something in the arts maybe.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
Or like a painter of some type.
Okay.
She probably does like nude paintings. Maybe she's the model for it. I don't know. That's the genre I see her in.
She's either the painter or the paintee.
Maybe both. Maybe a sculptor. I see that for her.
I didn't see any art in her room other than a black wall.
That's how she expresses herself, through darkness.
Basically.
So basically, Natalie just climbs into bed and passes out.
Yeah. So the next morning, Natalie wakes up and she sees Tasha's bloody hand kind of sticking out from underneath her blanket.
Did she not hear anybody leave the room or anything?
I don't know, because she doesn't have her headphones on now.
Yeah,
so
they're completely gone. I would be afraid I would choke on the cord at night.
I'm sorry, what?
Because they're headphones. They're not wireless. They're not like AirPods like we have now.
What do you mean choke on the cord?
Listen, they're like full-on headphones that go in her ears and the cord for it plugs into, I don't know, a cassette player, I'm sure, or something. What if she like rolls it like, ugh. You don't think about those things?
No.
I think about shit like that all the time.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't think that like this might be a good idea. There's a cord attached, so I probably shouldn't fall asleep with the headphones on like this.
Okay, maybe it's because I've always been a light sleeper my entire life that I would, it wouldn't, it, that's
that wouldn't happen for you.
It's not a thing. I'm pretty sure that you don't sleep hard enough that you would like asphyxiate yourself with a cord of your headphones.
You don't know how I sleep.
Oh God.
Well, she doesn't choke on the cord.
No, she doesn't.
Gone.
She's
somewhere.
Stephanie and her paranoia, apparently. Learning something about her every day. So anyways, she walks over because, well, there's a bloody hand.
Uh-huh.
So she throws back the covers. Tosh is there. She's dead. She's bloody.
Her wrists are slit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's blood everywhere. She turns to look at the wall, like behind her.
Over her bed. Over Natalie's bed.
Oh, it is over Natalie's bed.
Like, how do you not hear someone writing? Okay, sorry. You tell what happens and then I'll give my judgment.
The bloody writing says, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?
So, let's hold up a second.
Okay, please do tell, because I feel like there's some things that we need to unpack.
So, she thinks her roommate's having crazy sex. Fine. She's not. She's being killed, but whatever. And then she puts these headphones on, which are not noise canceling. This is 98.
That's true.
You don't have over-the-ears noise canceling anything.
Well.
So, she doesn't hear this person get off of the bed, go over to her roommate to cut her wrist to get constantly getting blood, making trips back and forth to the wall to write all this shit on the wall. She's got to climb on something to write on the wall. She can't, it's not an arm's length. She's climbing on something. Writes all this shit on the wall in big ass letters.
Maybe she's got long
leaves
arms.
Leaves the dorm. And Natalie's like, shh, nothing.
She's a hard sleeper.
Must be. You don't hear any of that?
No, apparently not.
Damn, nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's whatever, 90s. Natalie. It's fine. It's the 90s. The 90s. You're lucky.
So now we see a stretcher being wheeled down the hall. Mm-hmm. People are talking. Natalie is being questioned by the, I called him the head campus guy, the dean.
The dean.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the security guard, Reese, about what she knows, like what happened.
But there's no police there. It was just the campus security and the dean, not the police. Because the dean and the campus security guard, they rule it to be a suicide, but that's just based off of people who are not professionals. Like they're not detectives. They don't work in homicide.
Right.
Cool because that's all that matters, I guess.
Are they going to write the death certificate as well?
They write the whole report?
I just
don't, anything?
I don't.
If someone dies on campus, don't the police need to know about it? Don't the family need to know about it? Campus security's like, it's a suicide, girl. She had lithium pills. She killed herself. Trust us.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are the authorities?
I feel like you're a little angry about
this. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't make any sense. No, I'm with you on that.
And the dean is very rude. He's a very disgruntled man.
He is. He's just angry about everything.
When she's telling them it wasn't suicide, I know there was somebody in there. I thought they were having sex.
He's like, well, you didn't turn on the light.
Did you see them? Well, no, but we didn't see anybody. So it's just a suicide. I was like, what do you know?
Well, because I thought they were going to pin it on her.
I thought they were covering something. So I'm like, why are you so quick to like make this a suicide?
I don't know. I don't know. So when they leave, Brenda comes up to Natalie to comfort her. Uh-huh. Natalie said that she just, you know, wanted to be alone. Sure. Like she doesn't want to go get coffee because she offered to go get coffee or whatever. So Paul finds her walking down a sidewalk and asks her if he can ask her some questions. Mm-hmm. She said that she doesn't want to talk about it. He says, well, that's fine. He doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about how she knows Michelle.
Yeah.
Because they went to the same school. He had like this copy of her yearbook. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, a little investigator
work
here.
Homework. Mm-hmm.
He said that he didn't want to talk about the, you know, Tasha's suicide. But Natalie, you know, pipes up and says that it wasn't a suicide. It kind of was like a trigger button for her. Uh-huh. And she said it was murder, just like Damon. Like, mm-hmm. like, obviously there's murders happening.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe that suicide is a part of it. Paul says that, you know, if she wants to just talk off the record,
because he didn't know about Damon.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. So after she tells a story about kind of what happened, about this urban legend theory that she thinks is going on, she knows that Paul doesn't believe her.
Sure. He's skeptical.
Mm-hmm. He questions, like, why now? Like, why would this be something that's going to happen right now?
Sure.
She says that, you know, tonight is the 25th anniversary of the Stanley Hall Massacre. Mm-hmm. And then Paul brings her to
like
a Pendleton
archive room kind of thing.
I've called it the Pendleton document book room.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Official name.
Where, you know, if the massacre actually did happen, it would have been recorded in one of these, like, books.
Sure.
That they had on campus. Mm-hmm. So he begins to like search, and conveniently, book isn't there.
Of course, the year 73 is gone.
It's missing.
72 is there. 74, 75, 73 is missing.
It's missing.
Of course it is.
Convenient. Uh-huh. So the janitor guy is there. He's kind of cleaning the stairs or whatever.
It's a little sketchy.
He is. And then he's like cleaning, and Paul asks him, like, how long have you worked here? And if he knows anything about the, you know, the massacre. And he says that he doesn't know, you know, what they're talking about. He tells them to talk to Professor Wexler.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the urban legend professor.
Yeah. But he makes it seem like this guy knows more than just about urban legends.
Exactly.
Because he says, go talk to Wexler, and then kind of scurries away. And I say scurry because I think he did scurry.
Well, I think he did scurry.
Yeah.
I think that's probably wise. He was a little gangly.
Yeah.
Kind of
a little skittish.
Stringy hair. Just, you know, odd. He's an odd character.
Uh-huh.
So the professor is not in his office.
Of course it's locked.
So they let themselves in with like a credit card.
Doesn't work. He like, the door's locked. So Jared Little takes a credit card out and like tries to unlock it, and it works.
That's not a thing.
Okay. It worked for them. So they got into his office full of like weird face masks and statues and shit.
Well, yeah, of course.
And they find like a hidden passage doorway from the closet.
Which is weird because this is an office in the school.
Why does he have such a big office? Because he has a big office anyway. And then there's a hidden passageway into like a little office where it has like weird,
it's
like,
well, it's like a storage room.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Weird. Because in there, of course, they find an axe.
Of course they do.
Oh, boy.
Well, they also, there was like a jacket with like fuzzy,
uh-huh,
fuzzy thing around the face.
Yeah, very familiar looking.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So while they're checking out that storage closet thing attached to his giant office, they hear the door unlock.
Yes.
To the office.
Uh-huh.
So they go, oh, shit. So they close the like secret passage door thing and they hide in the storage closet.
Yes.
They hear like footsteps, rustling around, and then he leaves his office. Why was he there so quickly? Like, just forgot something? Whatever. They thought he left.
Of course they did. Well,
literally, it was only 2 seconds.
Right.
Okay. So they sneak out of the passenger. Like, is he gone yet? And he's hiding behind another door.
He's like, you finding something?
Yeah.
Is there something I can help you with?
Why would you think he would have left that quickly?
Whatever. They get sent to the dean's office.
Uh-huh.
And we find out that Natalie has a reckless endangerment charge.
Yeah.
In her file.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. And then Wexler said he uses the axe as a prop in one of his classes. And I was like, okay, Dean, I think you should revisit that. I think we should circle back, because I don't think any college or any classroom environment ever should have any type of weapon.
I agree.
In it. So maybe don't use a real axe moving forward, but I think that we should circle back to that as a group, Dean. Like, readdress that later.
You're like, Natalie had the reckless endangerment charge, but do we want to talk about that axe? But
we're going to come back to you and the axe.
I'm going to deal with these two right now. You just wait in the lobby.
Sit tight. We're going to talk about this when we're done, because this is a whole other conversation we need to have.
Okay, well, Natalie's embarrassed, whatever. She's like, this was like in high school, has nothing to do with now. He's sure. Like, well, we shouldn't have even let you in the school, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the dean also tells Paul that he no longer works for the school paper.
Bummer, man.
He's devastated.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's his thing.
Sure.
So when we leave the building, Paul asks her about the charge and asks if it has anything to do with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you think it would have anything to do with Michelle?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
What did he uncover? He probably found out some information someplace.
He's just trying to lead the witness.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't answer. He ends up walking off.
Uh-huh.
So Natalie goes into the school pool area to go find Brenda, who's swimming by herself again, because everybody is by themselves.
And only 4 people in the school, always by themselves.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. So she sees somebody in a hooded jacket coming from the like opposite side of the pool from her and walks towards Brenda. Well, Natalie obviously freaks out and tries to get her attention by attempting to throw a chair through this second story window. What?
And then we see the woman unzip the jacket and it's like a swim coach.
Yeah. Okay, for one thing, it looks kind of warm outside. Nobody else is wearing jackets. Why do you need that winter coat?
I think this takes place in April. Because later on, when we find out it's 25th anniversary, we see an old article. It says April 24th. So,
yeah.
Okay, fine. I know Maine is different than Florida, but there's no way you need a winter jacket in April. Fine. Whatever. No. But then also, the swim coach is also wearing boots. And I don't know why. It doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
Well, they had to make her look like the killer.
That's what they had to do. Of course. She's wearing boots and a swimsuit. Fine.
So, boots and a swimsuit.
And a fuzzy jacket.
That's so stupid.
After she throws kind of the chair into the window and like shatters the glass, we see Natalie and Brenda in the locker room. Nothing crazy, guys. They're just in there talking.
Calm down, guys.
Fully clothed. Because Brenda's like, why do you keep thinking someone's going to kill me? Like, I'm okay. No one's going to come after me. So then Natalie's like, fine, I'll tell you my story. Since you've been begging me to tell you my story, twisted my arm.
Where did that come from?
Fine, I'll tell you my story.
It's like that came out of nowhere.
It's like her guilt was like, okay, I'll tell you. Like no one's asking, girl.
Brenda didn't ask.
No one's asked.
She didn't ask.
She didn't know you had a story to tell. The only person knows is Jared Leto and you scared him away. So she tells this story about how in her car, Michelle was driving. She was in the passenger seat and Michelle wanted to play this practical joke on another driver. She turned her headlights off and the first person who flashed her headlights, they did the whole thing. They spin around. And now Michelle is tailgating this guy.
Yeah.
Flashing on off her high beams, driving really fast behind this guy to the point of where he swerves off the road, crashes and dies.
He dies. Yes.
And that's where the reckless endangerment charge came from. I guess they didn't charge him with murder.
No, they got probation.
Yeah.
Because it was like unintentional.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, the murder part was.
Well, they just got probation.
They got probation.
They got an easy walk there.
Yeah.
So we see Paul packing up all of his things in his office when he finds a newspaper article about Professor Wexler about being the sole survivor for the Stanley Hall Massacre.
Uh-huh, from April of 1973.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're back to the dean now. So we're kind of like jumping from like story to story. So now we're with the dean. The dean goes to his car after, I guess, getting off work, whatever.
He's like in a parking garage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese comes up from behind him. She tells him that it would be wise if they got extra guards. Like, she's like, there's something going on. Maybe we should, like, get some more security or something on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah. He tells her not to overreact. Take a pill, lie down.
You're hysterical.
You're hysterical.
He also said at one point, too, because she brought up that Damon, no one knew where he was.
Right.
And the dean says, because I wrote this down because I was like, excuse me? He says, he's not missing. He's probably shacked up in a motel with some girl or some guy or a farm animal. What?
Oh my God, I remember that.
What? How did we jump to farm animal? What a judgy asshole.
Listen, he's talking about Reese not overreacting. I feel like that went a little bit overboard.
Okay, excuse you.
I guess she's saying that Damon will screw anything.
I guess.
Or anyone.
I don't know, but it's not cool, man. What do they want to do? But then he tells Reese, too, that he doesn't want her to contact anything. Don't overreact. Don't contact anybody without his permission.
No parents.
No parents. No police.
Nope.
Is that understood?
My point is, I don't want you overreacting. Don't contact anyone without my permission. No parents. No police. Is that understood?
I'm like, first of all, excuse you.
Right.
You may be the dean, but excuse you.
Right. I have an obligation
to keep people safe.
Correct.
And if the police or parents need to be called, I'ma do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if I can't and I don't have the authority to do that, I'm going to go to the police.
100%.
I'll let the police know. They can talk
to you. They can talk to the parents from there.
Great.
So she's like, okay, understood. Calm the fuck down. Go take a pill and lie down, bitch. So she leaves the parking garage.
Yes. Mm. So she walks away.
Mm-hmm.
We see that there's somebody underneath this car with a fuzzy jacket.
Uh-huh.
Slices his leg.
His ankle.
His ankle area.
Yeah, by his Achilles kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. He tries to crawl away, but the fuzzy jacket killer guy puts the car into like neutral.
Yeah.
So it starts moving forward.
He pulls like the e-brake, but the dean is crawling in the path of the car.
That was my question. Uh-huh. Why can't he crawl to the left or the right?
That's what I said. I'm like, hey, Dean, can you crawl in a different direction?
That's what I had.
Like maybe literally anywhere else in the parking garage?
Just don't crawl straight.
He looks back and he's like, oh no, it's coming. It's so slow moving to the car. It's in neutral.
It wasn't on like an angle.
He's lucky he parked on a slight incline because I just don't understand how the car even moved.
I don't understand. I'm not understanding why okay.
But he's crawling.
Or he could just like roll. Like he could get on the side and just roll.
Hey, just get out of the way. Okay. He's crawling and perfect timing again in this movie. Beautiful timing because, you know, those spikes in the parking garage that go down when you like
pay. It'll pop your tires if you go the wrong direction.
It's pointing toward your car.
Correct.
And when you pay, they go down, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he gets to those spiky things. Again, roll out of the way, the spiky things. No. Okay.
No.
He gets to the spiky things.
Probably roll underneath them where the angle is.
You think something.
Okay.
He gets to the spiky things at the same time his car comes and it hits him. Plants him into the spiky things. The car runs him over.
It's true.
Goes through the gate thing, and now he's punctured in the spikes.
Yeah. And then the killer just walks away.
Satisfied.
There's a lot, Dean. You're not using your head there, bud.
I can't. I just can't.
It's a 90s movie. So that night, we are at a frat Halloween party.
Of course.
For this massacre. And Natalie gets to the party, finds Brenda, who runs to her and says, oh, you want a drink? I'll go get you a drink. So she runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Paul comes up behind Natalie and tells her that he has this newspaper article that he found on Professor Wexler about him being the sole survivor of that massacre.
Yep.
So they end up going to a quieter place in this house to talk about Pendleton covering up these murders and Wexler having a job for life.
They made a deal to keep him quiet.
Yeah. Mm. So Paul ends up apologizing to her for doubting her before, but he believes her now.
Mm-hmm.
She gets upset, because now she just feels like somebody actually is listening to her.
Yeah.
But doesn't know why the killer is trying to do this to her.
Right.
Because she feels like she's being targeted.
Of course. And then she suggests that they should call the police.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto says he already tried, but the dean called the police and gave them Natalie and Paul's name, saying that they should expect prank calls from them. And I said, that's not a fucking thing. What police office is going to be like, oh, okay, if someone calls me saying that someone's trying to murder them, oh, prank call, cool. Stop.
No.
That's not a thing.
They're not going to do that. Okay, whatever. So they end up getting really close.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up starting to make out.
Ooh, they did.
Yeah. So, and of course, on cue, Brenda walks in because she's got this crush on Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets pissed off that, you know, since she was a crush, whatever, she ends up storming off.
Sure.
Her heart is broken.
Whatever. Who cares?
I don't care.
I don't care either.
She can get over herself.
Yeah.
So Reese, the security guard, is doing a safety check on one of the buildings,
which apparently has no electricity because she's with a flashlight in the freaking dark.
You know what? Didn't think about that.
Why?
I don't. That's a good question.
It was the building where the office for Wexler is. Like, it's that building. It just, I guess, no working electricity now after dark.
Okay. They got, you know what? It's after 9 p.m. All the electricity goes off. You have to use flashlights and candles.
Switches don't work. Flashlights and candles.
So she hears this crashing sound in Professor Wexler's office. Mm-hmm. So she goes in and she sees that the whole entire office has been trashed.
Yeah.
When she goes into the secret room that's been opened, we see that the axe is no longer there.
Of course not.
It's missing.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of backs out of the room and ends up slipping on this massive amount of blood that's like...
So much blood.
On the floor.
A pool of blood. And she lands in it. Her pants are all covered in blood. And I was like, girl, the first thing you should do is go change your pants.
You do not know where that blood came from.
No, it's like seeping through your pants. Ooh, no, blood. You're sitting on it. Blah, go change your pants.
Oh my God.
I can't.
That's gross.
I know.
It's a lot of blood.
It's a lot of blood.
Okay. So back at the party, Paul goes up to Parker and says that they need to end the party earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a killer on the loose, whatever. Parker calls him out, gets everybody's attention.
Turn off the music.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it basically... berates Paul and
in
just
front of everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts laughing that this is a joke.
He kind of accuses Paul of being potentially the killer so that he can get a good story out there. So he can blah, 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 whatever.
Well, they continue on with their party.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a shit.
Mm-mm.
So Paul tells Natalie to stay there at the party. He's going to go find help. So then Parker gets this phone call at his house. He's in the kitchen, which by himself, which there's a huge party going on. Why isn't there anybody in the kitchen?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So he says that the person on the other end of the phone says he's going to die tonight.
Hello? Hello?
You're going to die tonight.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, man, I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
So he obviously thinks it's a prank. And then he looks at the caller ID and it says it's Damon, which is interesting.
Right. Because they learned about this urban legend in class earlier when they did the whole Pop Rocks thing.
Yeah.
About this babysitter who got a call from inside the house. Which I feel like that's another horror movie based on.
There's callers inside the house.
Isn't that sounds Scream? So familiar. Is it?
I don't know.
And we'll find out.
We haven't seen Scream.
I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. It's coming. We'll find out.
So and don't hate us because we haven't seen Scream.
This is what the podcast is about, guys.
We're learning as we go.
We're learning and we're watching things, okay? So that was the urban legend of the kids that she was babysitting for. She couldn't get to them because the killer was where they were.
Right, right, right.
With the phone from the house. I don't know how you can call the house. With same. I don't know how that works. I know. It's a different line. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's in the 90s. Anything can happen.
There's no rules. It's fine. So he thinks that it's Damon playing a trick on him from class earlier of the whole, like, you're calling from inside the house.
Yeah.
Crap, whatever.
And then he's like, okay, well, it's not that urban legend. It's this urban legend where there was a woman who put her dog in the microwave to dry it off.
Oh, boy.
Parker immediately thinks about his dog. So he bolts back downstairs into the kitchen. He sees that the microwave just dinged. Yeah. So he goes over to open it and there's like blood and guts everywhere.
Did nobody at this party see anybody put a dog in a microwave?
Well, nobody was in the kitchen. Apparently, it was barricaded off. They weren't allowed in the kitchen.
I can't. I just can't.
So Parker goes into the bathroom to throw up because he's very upset about his dog.
It was a sight.
Understandable. And then as soon as he like puts his head near the toilet, the jacket killer man comes up from behind him, ties him to the toilet.
Yeah, he like smashes his face on the bowl, I guess, to knock him out.
To knock him out.
Just whatever.
Ties him to the toilet, then starts using a funnel and shoves Pop Rocks down the funnel. And then some kind of blue chemical.
Like toilet cleaner or like something.
Down his throat.
Okay. This was the stupidest kill I've ever seen in my entire life. Why?
I don't.
If this, and also, the MO of this killer is urban legends. What urban legend involves Pop Rocks and toilet cleaner?
That's a good question.
Why is this all of a sudden now how you're killing people?
Well, I guess maybe she got mad.
I guess.
I don't know.
She already murdered his dog.
That's true.
Whatever.
Moving on.
Tara Reid left the party to go to her radio station.
Yes.
To do her whatever, explicit radio station.
Uh-huh.
So she's talking to someone about God knows what. And we see behind her, like her producer, I guess, like behind the glass wall, laughing at whatever she's talking about. And then we see the crazy jacket guy come into the room behind the producer.
She doesn't see this.
She doesn't see it. Her back is to him.
Yeah.
Grabs the producer. And of course, the lights go out in that room and her call gets disconnected.
Now, can we talk about what this call was about?
Oh, please.
Did you write it down at all?
Yeah. They were having sex and they got stuck.
They got stuck in some kind of sexual position. Okay, so of course when this was said, I'm like, what could this have been? Like, what?
Don't you want to know more?
Yes.
Because I feel like every time she gets a phone call, because even we were talking about the one in the very beginning when the movie started, when Michelle was driving and she was listening to Tara Reid's show.
Yeah.
This girl was talking about how she'd been stealing her roommate's birth control and replacing it with aspirin. And it's a bummer because she has to find a new roommate now.
I'm like,
and that's it. And I'm like, okay, because your roommate got pregnant.
She's pregnant.
She had to leave school. She's like, I don't want to find a new roommate.
And I'm like, you shouldn't have messed with her pills.
But all these calls are kind of funny because they just like lead up to some type of bullshit. And then it's end. And we're like, wait, what? So it's like, hold up. Can we jump into like, what position are you in? And also like, if you're stuck, why would you think to call it radio station? Not like an EMT or something?
But how did you get stuck?
Like, no. Is it like a contraption you're in?
It has to be.
They've got to be like on a swing or something. I got to be right.
There's no way that it could like.
You gesture. Courtney is gesturing the largest hole with her entire hand going in it.
I'm just saying. How is that physically possible without a contraption?
There has to be something involved, and I want to know more.
I have so many follow-up questions.
I need to know more. A visual aid, fine, but I need to know more detail.
Okay, where did you leave off?
She gets disconnected the phone call.
Yeah.
So she turns around and sees that the producer's room is dark.
Correct.
So she walks up to the glass to be like, the fuck? And then the serial killer is like, face is right there against the glass. We don't see their face. We see their fuzzy hood.
Yeah.
And she screams and run away. Okay, she's wearing this headset.
He swings the axe.
Oh, yeah. And she's wearing this headset that she's talking to the person on the phone with, but it's not like corded to anything. It's a wireless headset.
And we're in 1998.
Yeah, and I don't know how
everything
it works.
Is corded.
Yeah, and how it would work outside the room, I don't know either.
It's not.
So she screams and runs away, and he's like, you're saying, swings the axe through that glass, which I'm like, dude, there's a door next door. Just go through the fucking door. Whatever, fine. Makes a statement.
Drama. We need drama.
Crashes the glass with its axe, but everybody at the party that Natalie's still at can hear Tara Reid screaming into this freaking cordless headset, asking for help, and I'm like, she's run out of the room. How can anybody still hear her?
No, nobody can.
This is the 90s.
Do you know what?
Nothing was Bluetooth.
We can't even do that now.
Hell no.
We can't walk like two rooms away.
You can't have your Bluetooth too far away from where it's connected to. You gotta bring your phone with you.
Or the whole radio station. I gotta take the big boombox with me.
This entire part of the movie was infuriating because it was so
stupid.
Cliche. Yes, she's like slow-mo running. At one point, it's like raining. She's in a white dress and she's like, I'm like, can we just stop?
Help!
And of course, literally no one's on campus.
No.
There's only four of you there. Who's going to fucking help you?
Four people on the entire campus.
Yes. Like, what I don't understand. So she screams and runs out. She goes down this hallway. She runs into a goddamn elevator.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay.
But then she's like, running upstairs. Go ahead.
She's like outside at one point too, in the rain, because she's got a white dress on.
Uh-huh.
And then now she's back inside. Not wet at all, because it wasn't just raining, I guess. But she went back inside the recording studio building. And then she like gets into like an elevator, but then she's on the stairs at one point, and then the killer grabs her, tries to throw over the railing.
Yeah.
Then she just lands on the next level of the stairs.
Which I don't think is a thing, because if you think about it,
they're going to line up with each other.
They're going to line up.
Yeah.
So what is she? Did she like
swing her body?
No.
There's no way that girl's that crafty.
No.
Hell no.
She would have died.
I can't. It doesn't make any damn sense.
I don't know. So she's running, whatever. She's like, help, help. And apparently everybody hears her on the radio. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So right. Natalie gets to the building because when she heard her on the radio, she's like, that's Sasha.
Yeah.
She needs
she's
help.
She's in danger.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go run after her. So she just starts running through the rain. She gets to the building and Sasha sees her from like the second story.
The recording studio.
Yeah. The huge window. But we only see like just before the killer gets to her. Like the killer is coming in from the door as she's like knocking on the window trying to get Natalie's attention. He ends up chopping her to pieces with an axe.
Yeah. We see the axe swinging. And then Natalie's in the lobby like, yelling. And then the killer looks at Natalie and just waves at her.
Oh, yeah. Little finger wave.
Uh-huh. And Natalie just takes off and runs back into the rain.
Yeah, she runs back to Paul's apartment, I think.
Yeah, I think where his dorm was or whatever it
was. I think so. Mm-hmm. So Natalie is starting to get suspicious of Paul because of like how Paul's acting.
Yeah, he's calm.
He's like,
but he also has all these ideas.
And she's like, where were you at?
Yeah.
Like, where were you?
Just were you? Yeah.
Yeah. So she ends up leaving with him anyways.
Sure.
So apparently she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have done that. But anyways, that's not me. That's
right.
The sir. They run into Brenda as they're running out of this building.
Uh-huh.
They all leave together, all three of them, a little thruple. And then we see Reese, the security guard, she just found Sasha's body. Because I don't know how in this entire building, how she walked into that one room where
she heard her on the radio.
Oh, and that was the radio.
Yeah, she was driving on campus somewhere and she heard the radio. And she goes, help me. And then she goes, oh, that must be from the radio station.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Okay. So this whole building is a radio station.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I mean, she wasn't like in the radio station. Was she walking around this entire building?
She found her.
Oh, shit.
And then she goes, ah! And they're back to Brenda, Natalie, and Paul.
Okay, cool. She takes off, whatever. So Paul, Natalie, and Brenda start driving.
Mm-hmm.
They pull up to this gas station and Paul gets out to go inside.
It was Natalie's idea.
It was? No,
it was Brenda's idea. Brenda's in the back seat and she's like, maybe we should pull into the gas station and see Brenda's. If their phones work.
Yes.
So everybody's like, okay.
Okay, sure, why not?
Sure. So they pull into the gas station, and I can't remember if it was Natalie or Brenda, but one of them make a comment about something smelling weird in the car.
I think it was Natalie.
Okay.
I think it was Natalie.
And Paul didn't really notice it, but he gets out of the car to go into the gas station to see if their phones work. The two girls are like apologizing to each other, blah, 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 whatever.
Sorry that I overreacted about your boy toy.
Oh, God, who cares? There's bigger things going on right now, ladies. And then they hear a phone ringing. So they're like, or a pager. I think it was a watch.
I think
it was, maybe some kind of whatever he had.
Yeah.
Who cares? So they hear this noise. They both get out of the car, go to the trunk of the car, open it, and they see dead Professor Wexler in the trunk of Paul's car.
They do. Yes.
They look at Paul in the gas station. He looks at them and they yell and they start running into the woods. And Paul starts chasing them. And I'm like, dude, you look guilty. I look real guilty.
How did the professor get in his trunk?
I have so many questions. How does one person get a grown-ass dead man limp body from his office, which was on a multiple-story building,
and she's not
into someone's car?
She's not a big girl.
How?
She's okay.
None of it makes sense.
Looking back, it does not make any
sense.
None
of it makes any sense.
So Natalie loses Brenda. Natalie's taken off.
It infuriated me. The two women are running. Wah! And then we hear Paul go, Brenda! whatever. Natalie! Whatever the fuck he yells. Brenda trips and falls. Natalie doesn't notice. She just keeps running.
I mean,
okay. You're next to your friend. All of a sudden, it's just you. You don't even notice.
Why didn't Brenda say anything?
I don't know. Say anything.
There's so many questions.
And then she gets far enough away and finally realizes Brenda's gone. And then she hears Brenda scream. And then she hears Jared Leto go, Natalie. And she's like, well, I must keep running, I guess. Sorry, Brenda, you're on your own.
Well, she ends up getting to her road and like stops the vehicle that's coming down the road.
Yeah.
Which is the janitor from the school.
The creepy custodian guy. Yeah.
Super creepy. They did really good as far as the creepiness in here and not really knowing who's who.
Because you're not supposed to know if he's the killer or not. Because you're like, is that because he's sketchy?
Well, also, so she gets in. They start driving. She looks down on the seat and she sees that there's a fuzzy jacket.
Like a winter coat.
So
does everybody only have this coat in this town?
Apparently.
Okay.
Maybe it's very popular. Popular. Okay. So she asks him to let her out. He doesn't.
No.
She kind of panics a little bit. Then they pass by a car that doesn't have their lights on. Oh, okay. So as the janitor is going towards his lights to like flash, she's like, no. He does it anyways.
Yeah.
So the car obviously turns around, starts chasing them, ends up running them off of the road.
Yeah.
Which I think Natalie realizes that's the jacket person.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess so.
Because she saw him in like the window.
Because they got close to the car. But this part I don't understand because they ran off the road and the custodian dead.
He's dead.
Natalie.
She runs off.
Unmarked at all. No bruises, no blood. Unmarked completely.
That's true.
Oh, boy.
Well, Natalie runs back to campus.
She knows where in the woods this girl.
She was in the swamp. How'd she get out? Like, I feel like she was in like a bunch of reeds and like.
It did not look good.
Well, she knows her directions very well. I don't know if I could get out of the woods. I don't know if I would know where I was at.
How'd you get your bearings? How'd you know what direction you were?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. So she calls on one of those emergency phones that they have like all over
like
school campuses.
Like button things with a blinking light. Yeah.
No one responds.
Of course not. Because the only security guard, the only one on campus is at the recording studio finding a dead body.
That's true.
Okay.
So she hears Brenda screaming from this abandoned Stanley Hall.
Yep.
That's been boarded up or whatever, but she sees a light on in one of the upper windows. So she decides to run over there.
Oh my God.
Why?
I'm like, how do you know it's not recording?
I
can't.
I don't know. So she breaks in one of the windows.
There's rats in there, but
she starts off quietly walking up the house. Then she starts
up the stairs.
Yes. Okay. If you're going to be quiet, stick with a plan here.
I thought the same thing. I'm going to know it. I go, oh, I guess we just have no chill at all. We're just going to be loud as we can going up the stairs. Okay.
Yes.
Give away your presents. Cool.
That's true. So she goes into one of the bedrooms and she finds like all of these dead bodies of all of her friends.
Yeah.
They're all like hanging out.
How does this person get these bodies in this abandoned building and like hung and suspended? Like, these are grown ass people.
I have no
How idea. Can one person do this?
I don't know. How does she have that much time?
No, you need a team to help with dead bodies. They're limp. They're lifeless. They're heavy.
You need a team for dead bodies. You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But when you say it out loud like that, that sounds kind
it
of
sounds a little crazy.
Yeah, look, a little crazy. Do I try to be concerned?
I got a team for everything.
Got teams for everything. Okay. So she walks into another room where there's a ton of candles that are lit.
So many candles.
Why? I don't
know. Fire hazard.
I don't really know.
You know that place is covered in asbestos and lead-based paint. You know it. And now there's candles everywhere. Someone's not going to be inhaling healthy stuff.
But why? There's
after, dramatic effect.
Even watching this entire movie, there's no need for all of those candles to be lit.
And the room was so lit up. And I'm like, doesn't matter how many candles you had, that room was really lit up.
I just
don't okay. matter.
All right. Well, whatever. She ends up finding Brenda laying on a bed.
Who was visibly breathing.
She was breathing. I could
visibly
see her
breathing.
Because I checked it out.
Yeah. I was like, are we supposed to think she's dead because her stomach is moving?
Well, apparently Natalie is not aware of her surroundings. She did not see that there was breath coming out of her.
So I live thousands of miles from Maine and I saw her breathing. Natalie is right there next to her and she's like, no, another one of my friends is gone.
She sits down on the bed, starts crying, and then Brenda's like, murr. She kind of sits up in bed. You got that, right?
Uh-huh.
She sits up in bed. She punches her so hard.
Brenda punches Natalie.
Punches Natalie so hard. Knocks her out.
How?
I don't.
Doesn't just break her nose. I mean, and she's got no bruises or bleeding on her face at all when she does wake up.
I just
nothing.
I don't understand how she can have that much power. Okay. So when she comes to, Natalie is tied up and she's got duct tape on her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We see the jacket man is actually Brenda because yeah. she had the jacket on. She pulled the head back or
the hood back.
Hood back. And we see it's her.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes on to show her a slideshow.
God, she was so prepared.
So, okay. Okay. So is there electricity in this house? I mean, it's been like abandoned. I wouldn't think that there
it's
would.
It's been abandoned for 25 years. And it was from the 70s. And of course they would have outlets in there. Does not mean it's working.
Okay. Okay. Second thing, she's showing a slideshow.
You know it's one of those like buttons. It goes, chick. You know it's one of those
yes,
with the little individual
it's like
pictures
the
in it.
Adam's Family.
I was just going to say that. This is the second movie we watched where someone prepared a damn slideshow to be like, let me explain my trauma and baggage via slideshow.
What?
Oh, I'm so unprepared. Stop.
I don't. Okay. All right. Well, she shows a slideshow of the love of her life.
Yeah.
They were going to get married, whatever. And then we find out that this guy was actually the kid that Natalie and Michelle had killed
in that
running
car
off the
accident.
Road in high school.
Yes.
So how did Natalie not know who he was? Did they not go to the same high school?
I don't know.
They did.
I don't know.
I just made that up.
I don't know if she knew who the guy was when, like, the guy who died.
Okay.
I think they just found out that he was, like, a young guy after he died.
Well, they were the same age.
Yes.
So I figured, and maybe he lived in a different county.
I don't know. Something like that. But I don't think she knew him. I just think when she found out he died, they found out that he was, like, their age.
Gotcha.
Okay. I don't have the answers.
Why? Why don't you have the answers?
Because things don't make sense to me.
These freaking 90 movies. So Natalie asks what Brenda's going to do to her because obviously she looks like she's mentally unstable.
Uh-huh.
She tells her that she's going to remove her kidney.
Yeah.
Just like the urban legend.
Yeah. I guess the urban legend is this woman meets this guy at the bar.
Yes.
Knocks him out somehow. Again,
gives him something to drink.
Drags this man's limp unconscious body.
Puts him in a bath of ice.
Bath of ice. When he wakes up, he's missing his kidney. Reminds me of Charlie the Unicorn. You see that on YouTube?
No. Like, no, my kidney's gone. No.
Chordate. Oh, sorry. I'll show you after it's over.
Okay,
it's pretty
fine.
Funny.
Okay.
Fine. Oh, they took my freaking kidney.
So we see Reese pull up and look at this abandoned building where the girls are. And then Brenda begins to cut Natalie with the scalpel because she's got like this tray of scalpels.
Yeah, she has a lot of surgical tools. Where does one get that?
I don't know.
Not like you had Amazon. I don't know.
Well, she's a crafty bitch, so she probably went into like one of those classrooms.
Oh,
that,
maybe.
Where you like cut frogs
and
open.
Stuff? Yeah. And just
frog.
Took stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she first stabs her and then she slices her side and then Reese shows up.
Yeah, Reese just pops in with her gun.
And Brenda goes,
oh, great. Rent a cop to the rescue.
I go, you don't have to be condescending. You don't have to be condescending about it.
Well, she tries to like push her up against a wall or whatever.
And Reese then, does to like frisk her.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Brenda's prepared.
Yeah.
And she slices her with a knife, grabs the gun from Reese, and then she attempts to kill her.
Right.
Well, I thought she was dead.
Well, yeah.
She's not yet.
But here's the problem. Like, all these killers go into monologues every time.
They do. They
every
have,
time.
They have a lot to say.
She's like, after the slideshow, you got 20 more minutes before I actually kill you because I got a lot to say. So it just gives all this time so just Reese to get there.
Yeah.
Just get rid of her. No. No, not at all. So she goes into another monologue, and then we hear clapping.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Paul walks out from behind a wall, and I'm like, how long were you there? Did you see Natalie on the bed this whole time getting stabbed and punctured, and this cop come, and this girl gets shot, and you stood there the whole— how long was he there for?
I don't know. Was he part of the plan? Like,
that's what I thought at first, too. I was like, oh my God, is he in this with Brenda?
Right.
But he starts clapping and starts basically also goes into this monologue, making it sound like he's on Brenda's side.
Yes.
He'll make it look like Wexler killed them and then killed himself and blah, 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 whatever, all this shit. And then Brenda doesn't believe him. She pretended to. And then she was like, no.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, we'd be so hot together.
Yeah.
And then she's like, fuck yeah, you.
But which one of you will I kill first?
She's like, I don't really care about you. So Brenda is about to kill them. Reese comes to, ends up shooting her.
She's another gun, I guess. Cool.
Right, right, right. And then Natalie grabs the gun, ends up shooting Brenda, and then falls out of the window.
Yeah, she shoots her, takes like five, like, whoa, 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 steps back to like fall into this window that has like wood across it, like wood planks blocking the window. She hit it hard enough, taking five steps backwards to crash through it and fall three stories to the ground. Stop.
And she still survives, but we're going to find out in a minute.
That, you know that made me crazy.
I know.
She's like, no marks on her body at all. No, where did she get shot? I can't. I can't.
Well, okay. So
Natalie and Paul tell Reese, we'll go get you help.
Yes.
So they get in Paul's car and the two of them are talking about, oh, how weird. Oh, when this becomes an urban legend, how do you think the story will change? Oh, I'll probably be in a mental hospital. Oh, I'll blah, blah, blah. Who cares? So then Paul sees in the rearview mirror, fucking Brenda.
Where the fuck did Brenda come from?
She got into— okay, so this bitch got shot somewhere in the stomach, in the chest, whatever.
Correct.
Falls out a window, three stories, hits the damn ground, but unscathed, finds Paul's car and climbs in the back seat with her axe? Am I getting that right?
No, you did. You did.
How?
That's exactly what happened. But it gets better.
Because he didn't stop the car. He keeps driving.
He keeps driving.
Swerving.
There's a lot of fighting in the backseat between Brenda and Natalie.
She's like swinging an axe, but no one gets hit with it. And then they get on this like narrow bridge.
Yeah. I think
only
it's like a one lane.
One car can fit on it. And Paul like
hits the guardrail.
Swerves into the guardrail and sends Brenda flying out the windshield so that she crashes into the water below and floats away.
That's true. She did float away. Okay. So, well, that's that for that. And okay. Then we
just satisfy with that, I guess.
Okay. Hmm. I mean, I'd probably be okay with that. And then we continue on.
Yes.
So we meet another group of friends that's at another school having the same conversation about urban legends and things like that. And then in this group of friends, we see Brenda.
Yeah. Because they start telling the story about what happened at Pendleton.
Pendleton. At university.
Uh-huh. About the girl who got whatever. She flowed down the river. Apparently no one's ever found her body.
Uh-huh.
Blah, blah, blah. All this shit. Oh, I think she was in a Noxzema commercial. All this crap about her. Who cares? And then, like you're saying, we see Brenda. Because the friend was like, does no one believe this story? Like, this is a good story. No one raises their hand. One girl does and says, I believe you. And it's Brenda.
Uh-huh.
And she says, but you have to tell it right.
And then she goes into the story.
And the movie's over.
This is so 90s.
I have some fun facts.
Oh, please. I hope they're good.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. I can't remember anything.
I hope it's better than this episode.
Okay. Apparently, Sarah Michelle Gellar accepted the role for Sasha, Tara Reid's character.
Okay.
But had to back out due to scheduling conflicts for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I guess instead, we were lucky enough to get Tara Reid.
Oh, well.
I could not see Sarah Michelle Gellar playing that part.
No, she's too nice.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of more slutty talking about sex.
Yeah.
Or maybe they had a different plot at that time. Because you know how they kind of change movies every now and then.
Although Sarah Michelle Gellar talking about weird sex positions, some of that would be interesting.
Better than
it would be very unexpected.
Right.
Okay. At the end, when the students are recounting the events that happened, and one girl says, yeah, Brenda, wasn't she the girl from the Noxzema commercials?
Well, she was.
She was. Apparently, like, during that time, in real life, she was the girl in the Noxzema commercials.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
Okay.
So the film was inspired by the huge success from Scream in 1996, while that film, Scream, was a self-aware satire of horror movie tropes. This one is a self-aware satire of urban legends, but this film got negative reception because of the results of critics saying it was an imitation of Scream.
It was.
Yeah.
Like all of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've never seen Scream, but the parts of it,
I know you did the last summer, like all of that stuff. It's always like a group of friends and it's like one person after an entire group of friends and they all do stupid shit.
Yeah. It's all the same plot.
100%. Okay. The author of the Encyclopedia of Urban Legends is listed as Charles Breen, while the doctor on Tosh's bottle of lithium is also Dr. Charles Breen.
Oh.
And Charles William Breen is the production designer of this movie.
Oh my God, he's everywhere.
He's all over the place.
He wears a lot of hats.
He's like, put my name wherever you can. Okay, last one I got. I mean, IMDb had a bunch, but I just picked a couple.
Of course. Fine.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, Melissa Joan Hart, and Reese Witherspoon all turned down the role of Natalie. So the Natalie we got is a sloppy fourth, I guess.
Oh, damn.
Gotta be, right? Can you imagine Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch being Natalie?
No.
Well, actually, I could picture that better than Reese Witherspoon.
I don't, Reese Witherspoon.
That wouldn't work at all.
I think it's, she's just too, like, elite for me.
And she's fucking precious.
I love her. Mm-hmm. And her daughter. Her daughter looks exactly like her.
Identical. It's scary.
I know, right?
I saw a picture of them on Facebook, and it took me, I had to look at it quickly to figure out which one was which.
I know.
Which I'm like, good for you, Reese Witherspoon, for looking dynamite.
I know.
Banging.
They look like sisters.
It's crazy. But I guess Jennifer Love Hewitt was in I Know What You Did Last Summer, so I guess she didn't want to be, like, typecasted. So that's why she turned the role down.
That makes sense.
And Sabrina, she always plays, like, wholesome roles. She doesn't play anything, like, evil or anything. She's Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Hell yeah. I used to love that show.
Me too.
I wanted to be a witch so bad. I was like, how cool.
I want to do magic.
Why can't my aunt be witches and teach me how to be a witch? How cool would that be?
Why can't my cat talk to me?
It's the only reason I'd want a cat if I could talk. Otherwise, I don't want one. Do you want to hear what we're watching next week?
Sure.
We are watching The Descent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yeah.
It's already got you intrigued. You participated.
I did better than before, yes.
Okay, it says a caving expedition goes horribly wrong as the explorers become trapped and ultimately pursued by strange breed of predators. Okay.
Strange breed of predator.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know what that means. You know what? I bet you're going to find out.
I think we're going to find out. Couple reminders. Check out our Patreon. Check out our website. There's ways to support our show on our website, tipsypod.com. You can buy some Tipsy Pod merch. We're both wearing Tipsy Pod shirts today.
We are.
Woo-woo. What? Get yourself some Tri-Blend cotton. It's the best way to go.
Oh my God, Tri-Blend, yes.
Is that what you have on too?
Yes.
We both have, like, the slouchy neck ones too. Oh, it's the way to go.
I want to be slouchy.
They're so comfortable.
I want it to be tight.
And I like that they're fitted nicely to where it's, like, still flattering.
Yeah.
But it's like,
it's like
comfy.
Pajamas.
Yeah.
It's like pajamas.
It's not, like, tight. It's just fitting. It's slouchy. It's perfect. Get the Tri-Blend, guys. That's where it's at.
I'm very slouchy.
It's soft.
It's soft.
Or you can get Stemless wine glasses.
Yeah.
Guys.
I have mine.
I know. They're made with love. So much damn love.
These damn glasses are made with love.
We have to, like, really package the boxes because all the love is trying to pop out of it. Gotta really package the tape on there a lot.
That was really aggressive.
Yeah, I gotta tape these boxes. I gotta put a lot of effort into it.
Oh my God.
The love is just trying to get out.
I want to hear that back again. I can't wait till the episode comes out. That was a lot. There was a lot of hand motions. There was a lot of, like, anger.
No, it's all love.
Okay. You're gonna pack it with love.
Trying to get out. And then you can also buy us a glass of wine from buymeacoffee.com. It's $3. It goes a long way. It helps our show out. And $1 always goes to the Puppies and Keys of the Humane Society.
Yeah, even the ones that talk.
Or the ones that don't talk. Or we help them all. We don't discriminate against talking or non-talking animals.
No, but it would be really cool.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, I would give $3 for that.
Yeah. Do you get to play with it?
Can you imagine?
What if it's like a talking puppy? I can't.
What if it didn't like me?
It's impossible.
I know, because I'm pretty fantastic, aren't
100%.
I?
100%. So watch The Descent, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
And, sorry. I got distracted. So, it was about the
Gang High Beam Initiation.
Thank you. I did the enunciation on the wrong syllable.
Smile.
Gino, are you sure we're going the right way?
I've never been lost in my life.
There's only one way out of this chamber, and that's down the pipe.
I'm stuck. I can't breathe.
Okay, Sarah, you have to calm down.
I'm coming back, okay?
Okay. Okay, move! Now! Now! This is not good, guys.
Can we get out of here? Which way?
I don't know.
Sarah thinks she saw someone back
so
there.
So what?
I don't think I saw someone. I saw someone!
No, you heard something and you saw what you wanted to see. It's the dark. It plays tricks on people.
Is on our lights will run out.